And our spot on the map this morning is a little town that played a big role in Australian history. It was the place where the Cooee March began in 1915, where a group of a couple of dozen young men walked across New South Wales all the way to Sydney, gathering recruits as they went to sign up for World War I. It's also the hometown of a footballer with a remarkable story in Australia's rugby league history. We are talking about the little town of Gilgandra in New South Wales, where Stuart Border runs the post office. Stuart, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Ron. How are you going?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for telling us about Gilgandra. Let's start with the where. Where exactly is Gilgandra?
Gilgandra. Well, we're in the mixed farming area in the middle of New South Wales. We're 65 kilometres north of Dubbo. Most people know where Dubbo is. So, yeah, that's where we are, on the sort of intersection of three highways, Castlereagh, Newell and Oxley Highway. So, yeah, a lot of people have been through Gil. Maybe not stopped, but they know where we are, yeah.
And that's what they call it, Gil.
Yeah, we do. We get Gil a lot. Yep.
Okay, so you're nearby to Dubbo. What's off in the other directions as you go off on the Oxley, the Newell or the Castlereagh?
Yeah, fair enough. Little towns, Warren in the west.
Oh, yeah.
Coonabarabran up in the sort of northeast, and Coonamble directly north of us. So they're our main close-by neighbours, yeah.
So people would look at Gilgandra, and that's really the centre of everything.
Oh, mate, that's what we try to convince people. That's exactly right. Yeah, we are. No, we're a really friendly, vibrant little community, and around about 2,700 or 800 people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's in the town or in the district?
Just in the town, yeah, about a 4,500 district. Yeah, okay. Very strong wheat sheep farming area. And actually had a pretty good season this year. The guys are still flat out busy into their cereal harvest, wheat harvest. But as you'd probably be aware, terrific stock prices we've been experiencing lately. So
great.
It's pretty buoyant, you know. Yeah,
okay, so
everyone's pretty positive.
In Gilgandra, not a lot to complain about just at the moment.
No. It's going pretty good, you know. Brilliant. Like we're all, especially at a local level, we see all the stuff that's going around the world, mate, and we just think, geez, this is not too bad to little place
exactly
to be, Gilgandra.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's wheat. Is it sheep as well?
Or? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, right. Big sheep, wool and fat lambs, cattle producers. So, yeah, we have a bit of everything. I think that's been our strength, our diversity. Traditional family farmers, you know, handed down through the generations.
Right.
Probably fostered, really, by back at soldier settlement at the end of Second World War.
Okay.
We've got a lot of soldier settlers here that started there.
Okay, we
farming.
Know that that has been a problem over the years, the whole soldier settlement scheme. It was a great idea, but it meant a lot of people who didn't really know a lot about farming were sent to work on properties and they didn't really know how to do it.
Yep.
In Gilgandra, though, was it a success?
I reckon it definitely was. Yeah, because that's how we were big, wide-open, just sheep stations, how traditionally we were back in those 30s and 40s. And this sort of opened up to new ideas, cropping, and I'm sure there were some that failed because of what you just said, but I think generally we've proved to be a very successful farming district, very safe, you know, and there's still that history that we're proud of, that people also speak of the different areas, probably three or four different schemes, if you'd like to call them that, in our district, you know. Berrida was probably one out to the west towards Warren that was most famous, but up in the Armatree area, back Berrida, Innisfail, there were several in the district, and it's something that's our heritage, you know, it's something we're proud of.
I'm pleased to hear that, and there's a lot we want to talk about with Gilgandra, but I want to jump to World War One, though. You're talking about that kind of soldiers coming back from the war and being part of the soldier settlement scheme, but it was also a place where people went to the war with the whole Cooee March, and you've just had the reenactment as well. Tell me about Gilgandra's role in the Cooee March and what the Cooee March was.
It was awesome, wasn't it? It was really a recruitment march.
Yep.
It was an idea from a local butcher and his brother, Bill Hitchin, and
in Gilgandra?
In Gilgandra, and on the 10th of October 1915, 26 men left Gilgandra, answering the call. It was terrible losses over in the Dardanelles, and Gallipoli was over, so to speak. And,
well, the landings were, but people were still there in Gallipoli.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and so they're sort of saying, look, boys, won't you come? We need men. And to cut a long story short, they travelled all the way on foot to Sydney, and by the time they got to Sydney, 263 guys had joined them. So,
so 10 times as many people joined up along the way.
Yeah, amazing. And we actually have got only just completed the reenactment. I don't know if you've been able to pick up on any of
the media. I saw them when they turned up at Martin Place.
Yeah, magnificent. And that was a really big thing for our community. We had about 40 people actually partook in this reenactment march, and there'll be a wonderful sort of DVD coming out about that, which once again will add to our tradition and history. But it really was an experience, and our whole community got behind it. We sent them off. We tried to reenact exactly how the guys did it as close as we could. We had provisions night before they left and a farewell ball, and the community all got together and marched them off down our main street, and away they went, 630 kilometres off to Sydney. And pretty amazing. Yeah, something we're very proud of, and very sort of inspirational and emotional, you know. Yes, I even talked to the guys since they come back. We had a welcome barbecue, and it'll be something they will remember the rest of their life, and made some great bonds, great friendships.
So with those 26 men that left Gilgandra originally back in 1915, how many actually came home, do we know?
Yeah, I guess I'm wouldn't like to say the exact number. I'll give you the wrong deal, mate. I know a few did.
Yeah.
But most of them did lose their lives.
Yes,
yeah.
As you would expect. It was tragic. But it was a famous part of World War One and recruiting.
Oh, it sure was.
And the famous poster as well.
Yeah, that's right. And the several other recruitment marches were born out of it around regional New South Wales, but Cooey's being the first and being the most successful in numbers. And we actually received a great award from... from a church in Bournemouth in England. They wanted to give a donation to the community in the empire that had the biggest contribution pro rata to their population in the whole of the empire.
Wow.
And Gilgandra got that money, and we built the amazing St Ambrose Anglican Church here, which is, you know, known now as our Cooey Church. And it's quite a story. It really is, yeah.
Amazing stuff. You talk about the Hitchens. William Hitchen was one of the men who began that march.
Yep.
He did die, I think, of illness rather than being killed.
But he
was 52, they reckon.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? How that idea would be born in his mind and just come to fruition, you know? It's just so amazing, isn't it?
And his son was 19 and he joined.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And that all began in Gilgandra. Let's go back beyond that, though, before that.
Yep.
When was white settlement in Gilgandra, and in fact, what was prior to that?
Yeah, well, I guess it was. A lot of Aboriginal artefacts and tools and so on are found around here in our riverbeds and creek beds, so we were probably that typical Aboriginal settlement. There definitely was white settlement here. Most of our really early things that are documented are just sort of 1890s.
Right.
Our earliest buildings are right just into the 1900s, 1902. Our post office is about 1906. So there was a bridge built across the river in the early 1900s. So there obviously wasn't a lot happening before 1900. But,
right.
There definitely was a some form of a hotel, which there normally is, isn't there, in the settlement.
Usually the first thing. Or the post office was pretty early
as
well.
Yeah, it was. It was pre-1900. Was run out of a homestead. Yeah,
okay.
But the first building was in the early 1900s. But,
and that is important to you because you are running the post office in Gilgandra.
We're the postal manager here in Gilgandra now, and that's something my wife and I run as a private business now, as they are in
that's
smaller
right.
communities, and we really enjoy it. It's great contact with our people. I think that's where our real beauty is. We've got a great sort of caring, volunteering, great people, you know, and we stick together, we help each other out, we're in everything. And it's a community that just works.
Okay, and we're talking about Gilgandra, and Stuart Border is our guest. Any relation to Alan Border at all, Stuart?
Yeah, taught him everything he knows.
Is that right?
Got him on the front foot, yeah. No, he's actually a cousin, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And very proud of Alan. He was tough, and he was a great cricketer.
He was a great player, great Australian captain. Gilgandra is an Aboriginal word, is it right?
Yeah, it means a long water hole.
And is there a long water hole somewhere around Gilgandra?
Yeah, there is, but it's a bit hard to see, mate. It's underneath the
underneath the ground.
The river. Yeah, we're also known as well as the town of the Cooeys, of the town of Windmills.
Yeah.
Because we're on the edge of the Great Artesian Basin, and also meaning our river, the Castlereagh, that we're on is mainly looks more like a beach than a river. She's usually just full of sand, but enormous, beautiful stream of water underneath it, which, you know, contributes to our livelihood, and especially in the farming industry, a lot of bores.
Indeed.
And we used to, you know, of course, they're probably electrical submersible pumps these days. The windmills are not near as evident, but back in the day, we had windmills in every backyard, and tanks, and that's how we supported it. So that was a bit of our history as well. But yes, we've got a very fast flowing river in flood.
What is the river there?
The Castlereagh.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. I think it's about the second fastest flowing river in the Southern Hemisphere in flood.
And really?
Yeah. We had an enormous flood here, of course, in '55, yes. Which is
famous.
Yeah, famous. And every town, I suppose, has got that. You know, nature just. Forms our history, doesn't it?
When was the last time you had a big flood at Gilgandra?
Yeah, the last one I can really remember was in the late 70s. We've had quite big freshes, but not destructive and caused problems, yeah.
Okay, so do you have underground artesian water holes that maybe people swim in as well?
No. It doesn't get to the surface.
Right, okay.
It's quite shallow and it's good quality. That's the critical thing. A lot of the bore water is very brackish and not really suitable for life much, but ours is pretty good in this district, and it doesn't have to go very deep, but you've got to go further north of us, up around Moree and so on, to get the hot water springs and that sort of thing.
All right. Yeah. Now, prior to white settlement, though, you're talking about in the late 1800s, I think the town was established 1888, but the post office was maybe 20 years before that. Mm-hmm. Was there an Indigenous presence in the region, or was it a bit more nomadic?
Yeah, I think. And I've got a good friend here called Ralphie Naden, and I've learned a bit of the Aboriginal culture and ancestry from him. We're in the Wiradjuri area,
right?
And they definitely are very proud of their history here. So there must have definitely been settlements. Now, I want to be careful to not run off at the mouth here and say things I don't know much about. You know what I mean?
Yes, of course.
But we definitely have got a great Aboriginal history here, and we've really started to sort of grasp that, you know, of late, and I think the Aboriginal elders here, we include them and make sure we offer the respect that they deserve. Any of our sort of Australia Day events and any civic things. And I think the relationship currently between Aboriginal white guys, we try to look at each other as respect as people and not the colour of our skin. And look, we get on pretty well, you know. We've got around about that 12 to 15% Aboriginal in our community. They're in our schools, they're in our workplaces, you know. They're everywhere in the town. And it's something also that we're proud of, that we can work together.
Very pleased to hear that. Stuart Border, our guest in Gilgandra in New South Wales. Just to go back to the war, what about the war memorial in town? What have you got there?
Yeah, it's something they've worked on recently, knowing that the 100th year anniversary of our Kiwi March and the war effort was coming up. So we've got a young fellow by the name of Michael Noonan died in the Vietnam War, and that really rocked our community.
Really? Why was that?
Well, I suppose... I'm not sure if I'm right in saying this either, but he was the only one that I was aware of that directly was sent from our town and died in the war.
Yes.
And so he's the centre of our war memorial. And now we have also quite a large wall of anyone that served is on that wall from our district. Mm-hmm. And we've also got our satellite areas, Collie, Armatree, Turrawina, all those little villages. They do their own thing with the people that come directly from their small village communities. And that's important to them because they're very vibrant little villages, you know, and they've got a lot of spirit in them. And so they do their own thing with their own war memorials. But it was absolutely enormous how Anzac Day serviced this year.
Okay.
And we had a local fellow that's actually a jet fighter pilot, and he did pulled a few strings and got a flyover.
Really?
This year.
Wow.
It was amazing, yeah, young Ben Sawley. So,
but
it was a really big thing. It's something that I think our young people are also grasping the history and the significance of the wars to the freedom of our country. And if anything, they're getting bigger and more significant, which I think has got to be a good thing, surely.
You would have to think so. In Gilgandra in New South Wales. Now, one of the other things that's big in all country towns, all parts of Australia really, is its sporting clubs. Tell me about Gilgandra. Is it a big sporting town?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it really is. It's something that we're also really committed to and very proud of. We're more the traditional sports, very big into rugby league and cricket.
Mm-hmm.
But we do try a bit of everything in schools, and everyone has a go. It's something that I guess we're a bit short sometimes we feel on what we do in our spare time, cultural activities or whatever. So sport is just such an amazing thing. Our facilities are really good. We have wonderful sporting fields and ovals, squash courts, gyms or something. So our council, local council, has always been really proactive in providing those facilities and services. Our schools are, and also our junior sporting organisations. Parents get right behind them and they're well run, and so they get that opportunity to come from junior sport right through into the senior ranks. We've had some famous sportsmen over the years.
I want to know about them.
Well, Earl Harrison was the 5'8" and played all the matches in that famous 1963 Kangaroo Tour.
Now, this is an amazing story. Earl Harrison, yeah. This is a bloke picked for Australia while playing for the Gilgandra Panthers, or the team that would become the Panthers.
That's exactly right. Never played with a Sydney club, but got on a Kangaroo Tour and was a fearsome defender and always gave terrific service to his outside backs. And you've got to think that blokes like Reg Gasnier and Graham Langs, they're the fellas that are outside.
Okay, let's just get this right. 1963 is one of the great Kangaroo teams of all time. You mentioned Graham Langlands, Reg Gasnier, but you've also got Johnny Raper. You've got some of the greatest stars in the history of rugby league. Earl Harrison's playing in that team, picked from Gilgandra. He's played for the countryside, New South Wales country, against City. I think he might have been picked for New South Wales. Then he's picked for Australia, goes on that Kangaroo Tour.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Yeah, from little old Gilgandra.
From Gilgandra.
Yeah, yeah. And came back here and was a marked man, as you could imagine, and he did it tough. He had to really struggle to hold his own because he was such a great player, but such a marked man. How that happens, you know, we'll knock the tall poppy off. Good old Australian spirit.
Exactly. Well, look, captain and coach by Arthur Summons, he's the bloke on the trophy that they play for. He and Noel Proven.
Summons medal, yep.
That's right. Noel Kelly was on the team, Ken Irvine.
That's right.
Brian Hambley. Ian Walsh, Ken Thornett, these are the biggest names in the history of rugby league. There was little old Earl Harrison.
Good story, isn't it? See, Johnny King, too, he was Johnny a similar King. Era, but maybe just a little later.
Yep.
But he was a Gilgandra boy, and he was that great St George winger, you know.
Well, not only that, he coached the Western Division to winning the AMCO Cup
exactly.
1974.
He sure did. Yeah, I think he scored a try in 7 consecutive grand finals in that great run of St George's 11.
Amazing performance.
That's, you know, they're the things that'll never be done again, you know.
Exactly. So Johnny King and Earl Harrison, who else from
Well,
Gilgandra?
I'd like to throw in Bobby Foran.
Yeah.
He's our actual current very popular and very good race caller.
Oh, yes.
Horse race caller. And last year, or actually, you know, New Year this year, he just called his 60th Gilgandra Cup.
Wow.
Now, that's
you're kidding.
An Australian record. It could well be a world record.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
But it's an Australian record, and Bob's not experiencing the best of health now. He's just down in Sydney in RPA, so a good cheerio to Bob. I just saw he said g'day to us on Facebook this morning, so he's going okay. But that's just enormous, isn't it? We were so proud of him, and Johnny Tapp and Ian Craig and all the fellas did a great tribute DVD to him. They just couldn't be with us, but he also played New South Wales Wales country cricket in the 60s, Bobby. And
Now tell me, when is the Gilgandra Cup then?
It's on the first Sunday in January, so the first Sunday of the year. We race on New Year's Day, and then we race again on the first Sunday, and it's our New Year carnival, and... it's a really...
And he's called 60 Gilgandra Cups.
Yeah. He called his first one when he was 13.
And so it's going all the way back to the mid-1950s.
Yeah.
And we hope that he'll be back better than ever calling that cup in January next year.
Yeah, no, fingers crossed. That's
a few weeks' time.
Yeah.
What an incredible record.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, no, we're very proud of Bob, and he's as... pretty tricky game, that race calling.
Oh, it is, yes. We've seen that in recent times. Any well-known horses run at Gilgandra over the years?
Over the years, yeah. Gee, there are probably not going to be too many that are going to be known by your listeners.
Farlap didn't run?
Or... No, that's right. No Farlaps. Border Ghost was a great old country horse, named after my dad, but we had no ownership of him, but he won 51 races. You know, that's a pretty
51.
Amazing pretty amazing record. I reckon he'd be one of our most famous horses out this way.
Now, any other famous people from Gilgandra or people who've passed through Gilgandra over the years?
Yeah.
The Queen didn't come to Gilgandra.
No, I haven't seen the Queen.
prime ministers, kings, premiers, governors?
I think one bloke we really were very proud of, he was fairly local, I just don't know over there, but he was Jack Renshaw, the premier of New South Wales.
Well, hang on. We spoke to Binaway last week, and they are claiming Jack Renshaw for Binaway.
I'd be okay with that. But he was very precious to our community because he was back in the era when politicians represented their people.
They did, yes.
You know, and Jack just used to talk to anyone. He'd say, look, what do we need to do here? I'll take that back. We'll see what we can do. And he's a bloke that made things happen. So he was a legend.
Premier of New South Wales.
That's right. But anyway, I'll backpedal there and let
Binaway have him. Yeah. All right. What about the main street? Tell me about the main street of Gilgandra.
Oh, good question. Terrific main street. We've got a couple of big businesses in our terms. A really good IGA, one of the Carlo chain of IGAs. And we've still got a Target Country Store. Now, they're the backbone of our main street. But other than that, we're full of really wonderful, unique specialty stores, and they're run by locals, you know. There's a lot of diversity, great range of stuff. I'm talking little gift shops, dress shops, nice coffee shops, eating places. I think that's one thing that we're losing in our little towns. I don't want to get on my high horse about internet shopping and all that sort of thing. But one day we're going to wake up and our main streets are going to be empty.
Yeah.
And it's going to be because of the way things are changing in retail. And we're really trying to hang in there and say, look, we've got the stock here, we've got what you want, and we've got a very loyal community. If they can buy it in Gilgandra, they'll stay in Gilgandra. I've been in a few different businesses in town, and I've found our local people are really loyal. If you give them the service they want, give them the products they want, then they'll say, good on you, mate, we'll shop with you. And that's working. Yeah?
But, Stuart, you're in the post office business. You want people to order things over the net, don't you?
No. We get our share without pushing that barrier.
Okay.
But you're right. I know what you're saying. It is a big part of our business now, and it's grown in leaps and bounds. But, yeah, I've been in retail myself, and I've owned a pub, and I've done a few other things. And, honestly, in these little towns, every customer's gold. And if they don't walk through that door, you really haven't got much.
Okay. You've also been a publican as well?
For about 9 years.
Right. What's the pub situation like in Gilgandra?
Yeah, there's three pubs and two clubs. Probably one or two too many, especially the way the industry is now, I reckon, with drink driving and the price of it and that. It's a little bit tough to run a really successful hotel now. I'm glad that I was in the pub industry and now out of it, to be honest. But we've got good publicans with good meals and good service. So, the beer's nice and cold, mate. Never be frightened to call in at Gilgandra and have a nice cold beer.
Okay, so people are doing that, though. People are stopping in Gilgandra?
Yeah. We obviously want more too, but we don't see ourselves probably as a big tourist destination. But we'd love people to call in and experience our hospitality. We've got the Dubbo Zoo close by. The Warren Bunkles are a wonderful thing.
Yes, you're the gateway to the Warren Bunkles.
We are, and that's probably our biggest link to tourism here, I feel. And it's probably still a bit of a treasure that hasn't been unlocked to enough people. You know, it's hidden away a bit. That's a beautiful spot, as good as any of our national park areas. They're all unique, aren't they, and got their own particular thing that makes them special. But it's a beautiful spot out there at the Bungles. But we have a bit of a problem which we haven't really got on top of, where people pass through us and say, gee, that's a nice little town, and they
should
wave
stop
when they come and they wave when they leave, and they don't spend much time here.
Well, we want them to stop in Gilgandra, on the map this morning. Stuart, thank you very, very much for that. I so appreciate hearing about what a beautiful town you've got.
Good on you, Rod. Nice to talk, mate.
And that was Stuart Border, who runs the post office in Gilgandra in New South Wales, our spot on the map this morning.